May be seated. Well, good morning and welcome. Glad that you're here. We're still in the early parts of a new year. Enjoyed Michael's lesson last Sunday morning, and in fact, I'm going to start with the end of it. The lesson I've got is titled, Take Charge. I'll tell you how it started in just a second. I also want to kind of bring to mind, I've got a lesson that's titled Living Intentionally. And you may cock your head a little bit and say, what's that all? You know, I'm convinced that a lot of times we live accidentally. We live with life coming at us, responding to whatever comes our direction without feeling like we have any control over it at all. And so take charge a little bit. At the end of Michael's lesson, he had a list of things. And I think I wrote this down right, Michael. If I didn't, don't tell anybody. He said, read God's Word more. This was one of his lists of things that he'd like to do a little better in. He said, pray more. I'm going to have that one in there too. He said, God's business is my business. Well, we need to think about that for a while. We ought to be about the business of God. He mentioned working on the fruit of the Spirit, and we kind of know that area, don't we? That this is behavioral. This is who we are, what we ought to do. He had one here that your elders work on frequently, don't seem to be doing real well at it. He said simply, show up. We're a part of each other. We need to be together more. We're losing that increasingly. And then finally, reflect more. Work on your desire for God. Good points. You know, when we read God's Word, when we know God's Word, somewhere we need to apply God's Word. It needs to be a part of who we are and what we do. Well, how did this lesson come about? The following morning, I texted my son. I do that frequently. And I said, good morning, son. Go seize the week. And that's where I left it. Didn't take very long, though, for me to text him back. And I said, define it, the week. Go and seize the wheat. That's the one we did. Make it work for you. Take charge of it in the Lord. Redeem the time and speak the name of Jesus. Those are the points of the lesson this morning. And then I said to my son, sorry, I've wandered off into a sermon. And here it is. This is kind of my list in the area. It's kind of short term. It's something we have to do over and over again. Life is that way, folks. It isn't just once and then it's over. It somehow keeps recurring. And it'll be that way as long as we're alive. We need to do it one day at a time. We need to do some renewing. We need to go seize the week. So first of all, point number one, let's define it. We need to do that every morning when I get up. I need to remind myself of Matthew 22:37-40. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That puts some context on my day, doesn't it? It puts some context on my week. It says that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a good one for me to keep in mind as I define my day and my week. We sing a song, none of self and all of thee. And if you remember, that one starts off with all of self and none of thee and works its way down to the bottom verse, which says none of self and all of thee. And I need to think about that as I begin any given day. We've got to set the proper environment in our hearts. In this vein, can I just say it is dangerous to take charge of anything if the self is set in the heart. We're looking for trouble, aren't we? If I'm taking charge of something for my own purposes, I'm a dangerous person. The self cannot be the focus of my life. And so this needs to be a defining at the beginning of a given day or week. I've got to pray, and I've got to understand and acknowledge my need to pray. Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours of it in prayer." How many times do we spend 3 hours in prayer in a given day? And so I'll end this point by saying, please pray for your preacher that he will pray more. And let's pray for each other. We believe in prayer, don't we? We do. We ought to take advantage of it more. So as we begin our day, as we begin our life today and this week, let's begin it with some definition. And that definition has got to be, I belong to the Lord. I ought to be about His business. Point number two, go seize the weak. There's some action here. I've talked to us before about whether or not if we together were, say, a football team, that seems to be the big deal right now. Are we an offensive team or a defensive team? You better be good on both sides. But some are known to be more defensive than they are offensive. And it's easy to live life on defense. I remind us that you can't win with nothing, and that's offense. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, ye are the salt of the earth. And then again a little bit later, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Folks, there's something for the Christian to do. We are light. We are salt. There's something for us to do. That's kind of offense, isn't it? That's kind of something we need to do. And we need to go get it done. Amen. Church, we've got to learn to engage the world. Amen. Don't we? Amen. That's our job. It's been given to us by the Lord. We can't just be neutral. We can't just hunker down and take care of the home fire, so to speak. It's up to us to be in the world and engage the world. I know that's tough. But there's something for us to do in seizing the day, seizing the week, seizing life. There's a story told about General Stonewall Jackson. He's in a campaign. His army found itself on one side of a river. It needed to be on the other side. After telling his engineers to plan and build a bridge so the army could cross, he called his wagon master to tell him that it was urgent that the wagon train cross the river as soon as possible. The wagon master started gathering all the logs, rocks, fence rails he could find to build a bridge. Long before daylight, General Jackson was told by his wagon master that all the wagons and artillery had crossed the river. General Jackson asked, "Where are the engineers? And what are they doing?" The wagon master's only reply was that they were in their tent drawing up plans for a bridge. That's life, isn't it, sometimes? Sometimes that describes my evangelism. Does it describe yours? It does, doesn't it? We're in our tents drawing up plans to go do something. Maybe Nike had a good slogan, just do it. Well, enough. We just need to do some things. It can also describe our ministering to others. We just need to go do it. Sometimes we get all caught up in the get ready, get set mode. We just need to go and get it done. When we talk about a week or a day or life, we need to make it work for us. If we intend to work productively in this world, we need some sort of a skill set, don't we? If you're starting out in life and you're young and you head out to find a job and you say, I want a job, and they say, what can you do? And you go, well, I don't know, I've never done anything. I just need a job. It gets to be tough after a while, doesn't it? You need to be able to say, I can do this, this, and this. And young people, I would encourage you somewhere along the line, get yourself a skill set. And while I'm there, let me say, your social skills are a part of that. Amen. How you deal with other people is very, very important, not only in the church, but also in the world. You've got to be able to do something. I think of the passage that says, our being ready to give an answer to him that asked, are we? Can we give that answer? A humble believer with a displaying heart full of God is what we're after. We need to put that in the active mode. Someone who has a heart full of God, who is humble, put into action. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you're not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I am afraid, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will also be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Colossians 2:5, for though I am absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith. That great one in Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained. Activity bringing training to discern good and evil. 1 Timothy 4:6 talks about them being constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine. And then 2 Timothy 4:3 talks about keeping to themselves teachers, having their ears tickled. They accumulate teachers according to their own desires. I read Ephesians 4. 12 through 16, frequently. In the middle of that is the term tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Folks, we've got to make it work. We've got to make God's Word come into our hearts and make that part of our lives. I was driving around with my neighbor the other day, and we were talking a little bit about the new year and resolutions and whatever. And he said something I thought was worthwhile. He said, you know, in our little family, we try to establish a positive habit. There's some good habits, aren't there? Habits are not bad. They're good. And if we can establish a positive habit, we've probably done a good thing. I end this one by saying, and I believe this, I will be passive when I know I'm not up to the task. That makes sense. I'll fiddle, I'll procrastinate, I'll do whatever I can if I'm concerned that I'm not up to the task at hand. And some of this point is we need to be up to the task at hand, and God's Word helps us do that. Amen. Speaking of a day or a week, we need to take charge of it in the Lord. Michael, I'm back to one you mentioned. Prayer must play a part. prayer must permeate our existence. We need to remember who is in charge. That's a beginning point. C.S. Lewis. The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. I understand that, don't you? There are times when I wake up at 4 in the morning and they rush at me like wild animals. I understand that. And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back, listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. That's a good thought. John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. William Barclay. When we pray, remember, this is important, remember the love of God who wants the best for us. Remember the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us. Remember the power of God that can accomplish it. There's a sermon there. Luther again. If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. I've talked over the years, and it's one of my favorite sayings. I don't know where I got it, but I talk about fire in the belly. We need fire in the belly, folks. Our faith needs to have some fire behind it. Someone said it was the angel that fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that brought the angel. I ran into one here, had to throw it in, although I'm as guilty as you are. Put away your cell phone, it says. We're talking about taking charge of a day or a week. Earlier this year at a concert in Italy, Adele, you probably know her better than I do, I've heard her one time, paused in the middle of her set to ask a fan, "Can you stop filming me? Because I'm really here in real life. You can enjoy it in real life rather than through your camera." It's almost like we've got these cameras and phones and smart things, and we can't touch life without going through it. Amen. And this was a valid point that she made to the fan. Country singer Willie Nelson joined the U.S. Air Force after graduating from high school in 1950. He was medically discharged after 9 months due to back problems. But he learned a few things there, and anybody that's been in the service knows this. He says when he was in the Air Force, they had what they call policing the area. Anybody in the military just grinned. That's where you looked around, and if there's something wrong here or there or anywhere, you took care of your own area. When I was there, 90% of what we policed were cigarette butts. But you policed it, and it better be clean when you're done with it. He says, I think that's a pretty good thing. If everyone just takes care of his own area, we won't have any problems. And then he said this, be here. Be present. Wherever you are, be there. We understand that, don't we? I'm guilty of being somewhere and not being there at times. My wife accuses me, and we'll sit down and watch some television, and I'm sitting there with my phone fiddling. And I'm there, but maybe I'm not there. And we understand that idea, don't we? Fathers, you'd better be there when you're there. Mothers, you'd better be there when you're there. It's important. Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we approach any day or any week, we need to think about that area of redeeming the time. That's in the text. Hebrews 6:12 tells me not to be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'm sluggish sometimes. I seem to go through seasons. Need to knock it off. 2 Peter 2, starting at 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, and it goes on to talk about your faith, supplying moral excellence, and your moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Redeeming the time. Ralph sat in his car glaring angrily at a red traffic light. 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minutes. We got some 3 minute traffic lights around here. You know that? He was just furious. He just couldn't stand it. Behind him, there was another guy by the name of Tom. He really doesn't mind the light. It gives him a chance to learn another Bible verse. He has a new one on a little stand on the dashboard. He's saying it over and over, trying to memorize it. And by the time the light changes, he'll pretty well have accomplished that so he can use it in his witnessing. It's estimated that the average motorist spends 26 hours a year waiting for traffic signals to change. They probably do better up here in Rescue than they do in Sacramento, but still, it's a significant issue. If Ralph and Tom are average motorists, Ralph will spend 26 hours a year running up his blood pressure with angry frustration. Tom will spend 26 hours a year memorizing God's Word, so he'll be a better servant of Jesus Christ. When we say take charge, we can do that with little things and little time periods. Think on these things. Carl Sandburg said, time is the coin in your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how you'll spend it. And then he said, be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. And we can do that in a thousand different ways, can't we? The final one that I have is speak the name of Jesus. We just need to say his name. I'm not suggesting some kind of a mantra, although I don't know if that would be bad if it's Jesus' name. But somehow we need to write his name on our hearts. We need to remind ourselves and put our mind where it ought to be. Somehow we've got to let God write his mind on our mind. We need to remind ourselves of the presence of God and the presence of Jesus. Proverbs 23 at verse 7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. We need to put it into our minds. Psalms 107:1 and the first part of 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And then it says, let the redeemed of the earth say so. Doesn't that make sense? We belong to Christ. We are the redeemed of the earth. It's up to us to say so. We're back to the light and the salt issue. Acts 22:16. Now why do you delay? I'm in the New American Standard. Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. I put that one in here, and the first thing I thought is, maybe that should have been the title. Get up and be baptized, surely. But we just need to get up and be in our lives. I added this one at the last minute. An article, 5 Traits of Growing Churches. And they noted some churches. This one's 25 years old, probably. Each church, though, had an indomitable spirit of conquest. I like that. We're going to win. It was a holy drivenness about that congregation. They would never be satisfied. Each church pulsated with an atmosphere of more, more, more. They must cross the next river, climb the next mountain, give the next dollar, and win the next soul. They would not be deterred. Is that within us? We can raise the bar on that one, can't we, a little bit? Amen. We need to be a church like this, an indomitable spirit of, we're going to win this game. We're going to win it because God's on our side. We're not going to win it sitting in a pew. We're not going to win it sitting at home. We're going to win it by going someplace and doing something that has value within God's Word. Amen. There needs to be a holy drivenness in us. We need to pulsate. I like that word. We need to pulsate with an atmosphere of more and more and more. We need to be driven to do better. We either train up or we train down, folks, don't we? Amen. Somehow in our social situation, we are either going to drag each other down by our nothingness and our apathy and our complacency. Because when you see it in me, you think, well, that's where the bar is set. I can manage that. But if you see in me a drive that won't give up, it'll help you want that drive, and we begin then to drive each other. Amen. Folks, isn't that what the church is about? We are to encourage and lift up and build each other. But the personality that pulsates within our veins needs to be something that's going someplace, not just a big blah. So we can do better in some of these areas. I can do better. You can too, can't you? And I guess that's kind of the lesson. Let's take charge. Let's stop waiting for something to happen and let's go make it happen. And I do that first in me, at my home, in my closet. But it's got to go from there, folks. And when you do that and I do that and four or five of us do that and get together, we may get three or four more, and before you know it, you know, how do some football teams lose the first four games and can't figure out what's going on, and then win the next 10? What happens to make the difference? And I think we're talking about it. Somehow there was a change of mindset somewhere in somebody, and somehow it was catching. The losing got lost, and the winning became the pulsation. And we can do that, folks. We have every reason in the world and in eternity to do exactly that. Amen. To be the people that we ought to be. I'm encouraging us to do that. Each one of us to go home and think on these things and then take charge of the week, take charge of the day. If you're in this audience, you're not a child of God. God gave Jesus. He died on this earth, gave his life, suffered cruelly, cruelly on a cross. And then he died as the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God. He did that for all mankind. Do you believe that? Do you believe in him? If you do, would you follow that? Now we're putting things into action a little bit. Would you believe? Would you confess his name before men? Repent, that's a change in life that happens over and over. We are now, instead of serving self, we're going to serve God through Christ Jesus. And we're going to help each other do that. Repenting, would you be buried in a watery grave of baptism, then arise to walk in newness of life? You can read Romans chapter 6, 3 through 11 or so. If that's new to you, would you grab somebody and say, I need a better explanation? will help. We want that more than anything else for you. If you're in this audience, you're part of a family. We pray with each other. We pray for each other. We will help each other, won't we?
Amen.
We'll help you this morning in prayer. Won't you come us together? We stand and sing.